Hello, it's Vanessa Garrity here from Beyond the Room. We're at the Closing the Gap Network in York this morning, and I'm just about to interview Professor Sam Gilbody and Carolyn Chu Graham, who are going to give us a bit of an overview of the day. Okay, over to Simon.
Oh, hi there, Vanessa. I'm Simon Gilbody. I lead mental health and addictions research at the University of York, and I'm director of the Closing the Gap Network, and I'm going to kick off proceedings here today, and we've got lots of people going to come and join us here at the Hospitium in York, and I'm here with my colleague.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Chu Graham. I'm a GP in Central Manchester, and I'm a Professor of General Practice Research at Keele University, focusing on mental health problems and improving the care for patients with people with mental health problems in general practice.
Excellent. So, Simon, could you just say a little bit about what to expect from today for people who are going to be listening online?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is a really important area for us. We're all excited to be working in the area of health inequalities for people with severe and enduring mental health problems. Lots of people will be aware that people with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder experience some of the poorest health of any section of the population, and life expectancy substantially reduced compared to the population at large, and the prevalence of long-term health problems, heart problems, lung problems, being overweight are very much higher than in the broader population. So we see this as an important and neglected health inequality, and we have constituted a network of people, and we're keen to grow this network over the next 4 years. We've been funded by UK Research and Innovation. It's a consortium built from all the major funding councils, and they want to encourage us to work in areas of health priority, and they were keen on this area of health priority, and they wanted us to start forming innovative collaborations between the different disciplines that might be able to help us chip away at this problem. So my background is in trying to improve health-related behaviours, and in particular we've done lots of research in smoking cessation, so that's what got me into this area. But as I sort of looked around, I thought there's a lot more that we could do to look at the potential for green space, the potential for the environment to improve people's physical health, how we might bring to bear arts and creativity, how we might utilise big data, and also start looking at this through the lens of broader health inequalities. So we work with political scientists, social scientists. So we're really excited to sort of kickstart some ideas, and we've got brilliant collaborators, not least of which is my colleague Carolyn. So I'll let Carolyn tell you a little bit about what she's up to.
Okay, so as I said, I'm a GP, and GPs look after people who've got severe and enduring mental health problems. So I think a lot of people think that these patients are cared for in specialist care, that they don't have primary care input. And we know historically that their physical health has been neglected, both in specialist care but also by GPs, partly because their severe and enduring mental health problems sort of overshadows the physical health problem. But for the last 10-15 years, there's been an increased emphasis on identifying physical health problems, and certainly this has appeared in the quality and outcomes framework that governs a lot of what general practitioners do. The problem is that I think primary care has tended to screen for these conditions but not necessarily manage people who are identified as having high cholesterol or diabetes as a result of their severe mental illness or as a result of the drugs that they're given.
Yes.
So whilst it's important to encourage primary care to screen, we then need to intervene and manage people's problems, but not just from a biomedical perspective. It's really important that we do what's now called social prescribing. So signposting people to things like allotments. So I'm going to mention in my very brief presentation about a couple of people who've got SMI who have allotments locally, and who take great pleasure in bringing vegetables into the staff. I've had fresh eggs brought in, and that's very different to the usual sort of encounters that they have with the practice, which is get your blood pressure checked, stand on the scales, oh, you're diabetes is not very well controlled.
Yeah.
So actually trying to get primary care much more engaged in the 99% of time that people don't have in contact with healthcare services, but what they do outside.
Yeah,
that's great. And I'm a mental health nurse myself, and I've done work in primary care. So I suppose I'm just curious from my point of view, how you see the role of mental health nurses developing within primary care.
There's great potential for liaison, and in fact I was just saying a few minutes earlier about 20 years ago there was a model of liaison psychiatry where very senior psychiatrists came into my practice and we talked about people with mental health problems, talked about referrals, talked about holding patients, didn't talk about the physical health problems of people. And then that model disappeared, and sort of mental health nurses disappeared off into community mental health teams. And I think there is the opportunity with the new NHS plan, with personalised care, to build those bridges again and have mental health nurses sharing the work, often with practice nurses who do the physical health monitoring, but a much more collaborative care model of care for people. And it's an integrated care. So one of the problems I think of QOF is of the quality and outcomes framework is that patients have their cares become fragmented, and they see one nurse for this, one nurse for that, the GP for that, they might go to specialist care. And the opportunity for the personalised care agenda is that we develop more integrated approaches, and that's really important for people with severe and enduring mental health problems, that they can have physical health and mental health attended
much
to.
Much more holistic. Is the QOF framework, is that changing? Is that what's happening?
Well, the QOF framework has changed ever since it was instituted, and one of the big things that we welcomed in QOF was the having a severe and enduring mental health register and having to bring people in to do their physical health checks.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately what happened about 5 years ago was that the indicators changed and some of the indicators were withdrawn. And a colleague of mine, David Shires, and I wrote an article, a rapid response to the BMJ, a concern about the fact that this would lead to some indicators, some work not being done in general practice. And then colleagues in Manchester have shown that actually work stopped being done. And that is my concern about when indicators are removed from QOF, is that general practice doesn't do that work. So we need to make sure that we replace the QOF indicators with other mechanisms of actually monitoring and supporting people's physical health.
Sounds great. I love the holistic approach with the allotments. That's really good, isn't it? It'd be great to see that happening around the country, wouldn't it? It's really good. But there seems to be a lot of good work going on in Manchester generally. And that's my feeling in primary care from the things I've heard. So it's really positive.
All the best things come out of Manchester.
Yeah. Are you from Manchester?
Stockport. Greater Manchester.
Yeah. Okay. Before we start today, are there any last words that you want to communicate with people who are listening online today?
This is a network, and we've got the beginnings of the network here. So we've got great collaborations between my university, the University of York, and the University of Keele. So that's very exciting. And the other exciting thing is we've got lots of other organisations that are keen to work with us. So the participants here aren't just the usual suspects. So we've got people from environmental organisations, community-based organisations, different professions, all represented here. And we've got a really strong partnership with the Mental Health Foundation. So
that's great.
Right at the centre of what we do is going to be co-production, ensuring that people who are experts by experience are at the centre of any endeavours that we produce. So this is going to be, it's not going to be top-down, it's going to be bottom-up, and this is the start of something really exciting.